International success coach and noted author Constance Arnold delivers life-changing strategies through her own spiritual practices, as well as with best-selling authors and experts she interviews. Think, Believe, and Manifest is specially designed to empower your mind and your words to work for you and to bring about the life you've been dreaming of. And now, here's Constance Arnold.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And of course, I am Constance Arnold, your most gracious host, and so grateful that you've joined me today from all over the world. And I can truly say that if you are listening to this recording, I believe, and I want you to be in agreement with me, that your life will never be the same again. Well, how are you doing? I hope that you are having an awesome day, and you know that is a choice. No matter what's happening in your life, you can choose to have a phenomenal, magnificent, powerful day. Well, it is a beautiful day here in Atlanta, and guess what? I can feel fall in the air. It is a little cool, but simply beautiful. Well, I am back from my vacation from the Bahamas, and I had such an awesome time. I mean, everything just worked out perfectly. And one reason for that is because I spoke the word over my vacation, and I created my vacation with my words and with my thoughts. And so I said it's going to be a great flight, that, you know, the taxi cab ride is going to be great to the hotel, that I'm going to get one of the best rooms in the hotel. And that happened initially when I arrived. They gave me one room, and then I went to take a look at the room, and I realized that's not exactly the view that I wanted. And I came back downstairs, and I just stood there very graciously, and the lady said, I don't know what happened, but somebody just checked out. So go and have your lunch, Miss Arnold, and then come back. And then the second room that I really received was just beautiful, perfect ocean view setting, and I am just so grateful. So what did I do? I declared my trip with my words prior to arriving. So actually, I sent my words before me to create my trip. And it was really, really wonderful. Just love the people in the Bahamas. They are just so gracious. Well, today I am not going to be able to give you a weekly tip because we're going to be talking about money. We have Mr. Bob Wheeler, and he's going to be talking about how to navigate the money nerve or how to deal with your emotions and money. So I want to move quickly toward that. But before I do, I want to remind you that I have great tools that I have designed just with you in mind. And I want to remind you about my book, Attracting Genuine Love. If you want that, I have all of the how-tos in there. Secrets of Success, which is 30 years of me working and understanding human behavior, where I have gained a clear understanding of how to integrate and heal those soulish areas of our lives, which would be our memories, our past, our beliefs, so that we can really begin creating the new life. Really, until you heal and shift and change those, you really will be struggling. So that's what my book, Secrets of Success, is all about. And of course, I have my affirmations. And just as I shared with you, I spoke my affirmations out loud of what I desire. So affirmations and words create a different story for you, create a different future for you. You've heard me say that before, and even in the Bible, nothing changed until God spoke. As a matter of fact, the Bible said there was chaos and darkness, and that the Spirit was hovering. And so in your life, is there chaos? Is there darkness? Seem to be stagnant? Then you need to begin to speak. Speak what you want, just like I did over my vacation. So I have prosperity affirmations, self-love, success, and attracting love. What would happen in your life? You've heard me say this before. If you would take 10 to 15 minutes a day and really just begin to declare and decree what you want in your life. One of my mentors said, if you're not speaking, then nothing's happening in your life. And of course, coaching, and you guys can go to my website. You've heard some of my clients share how their lives have been changed. Go to my website, fulfillingyourpurpose.com, and take a look at some of the testimonies of my coaching. It is certainly an investment in your future. And next week, I'm going to be teaching. I know many of you say, Constance, I want you to teach more, but you know, I really like to be prepared for that. And so next week, I'm going to be teaching part two on power thoughts, thinking on purpose part two. And I just felt led today while I was in the gym that I'm going to really cover areas like forgiveness. Somebody said, I think Dr. Michael Beckwith says that when you hold unforgiveness against people, that it keeps you in debt and it even impacts your money, which is what we're going to be talking about later. I'm going to be talking about how to pray and just mindset change. So I'm really excited about that. And over this week, I know that God is really going to download just what you need to hear. So we're going to go to these quick commercial breaks. I want you to listen to them. And I'm going to be right back with Mr. Bob Wheeler, and we're going to be talking about M-O-N-E-Y, money.
You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network, heard by millions worldwide through 38 internet radio stations and in over 135 countries. Come join us on Facebook for your daily dose of inspiration and action that reveals the secret within you. You can find us at facebook.com/ Law of Attraction Radio Network. That's facebook.com/ Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Are you ready to create the life of your dreams? Imagine partnering with a coach that can help you manifest extraordinary success. Constance Arnold has been a licensed therapist and coach for over 25 years and has successfully worked with more than 10,000 clients. Constance will help you clarify your goals, eliminate self-defeating beliefs, and create strategic plans to manifest your dreams. Constance offers a variety of coaching packages, pay-as-you-go, half-yearly, and yearly coaching. Contact Constance today for guaranteed coaching that produces extraordinary and permanent results. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
It's here, it's hot, and it's a must read. It's the science behind The Law of Attraction magazine. Every issue brings you great articles and in-depth how-tos from all your favorite Law of Attraction experts, authors, scientists, and medical professionals. Go to lawofattractionmagazine.net. That's lawofattractionmagazine.net.
Well, I am back and I'm so excited about my guest today. And we're going to be talking about M-O-N-E-Y. That's right, money. My very special guest is Mr. Bob Wheeler, and he's a CPA with over 25 years experience. He travels the world, and he is the author of The Money Nerve, Navigating the Emotions of Money. And since the number one question that I receive is, Constance, how can I attract more money? How can I manifest more money? I'm really excited about having Bob here. So we're going to be dealing with a lot of our core belief systems around money, our fears around money, how to have a healthier relationship with money. So Bob Wheeler, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Well, thank you, Constance. It's great to be here.
Well, we tried this once before a couple of weeks ago.
We did.
Uh-huh. And I said, all things in divine order. And jokingly, I said, Bob, we got to quit meeting like this. And I am so excited about having you on the show because, as you heard me say, the money question is like the number one question that I get, Bob. How can I manifest more money? How can I attract more money? How can I change jobs and get more money? So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your journey with money.
Absolutely. So my journey with money is that I became a CPA, mm-hmm. and I had my money issues back and forth, but it didn't really seem to be a problem. And as I noticed that people below me in terms of ranking at their job or in terms of pay scale were making less money than me, were actually leaps and bounds ahead of me in terms of buying a house, taking care of their car payment, and managing their money. And I realized the common denominator in this money issue was me. So I decided I needed to go on a personal journey and figure out where did I trace back this self-sabotage to. And so that's where this whole thing started. And actually, I did trace back to, there was a period of time after my parents got divorced that my mom had said to me, now this was my interpretation, she may mm-hmm. not have meant this, but it was my interpretation. She said, you need to go out and make enough money so that all of your siblings and I can have the life we're entitled to have.
Wow.
And I said, well, I'm not paying for that. So I immediately started making sure any money came my way, I got rid of it, so that when my mom or my family came to me and said, hey, we need some money, I'm broke, I don't have anything for you, because I didn't want to lie. So I made sure that I just completely drained all the accounts. And that wasn't really serving me. Yeah. And I really had to take a look and see what that was about, and was I willing to make some changes, set some boundaries, and actually start moving towards the life that I wanted to have, not the life I didn't want the rest of my family to have.
Right.
And so that's where I started. And then as I was working with clients, clients would come in. They would come in for a tax appointment. They'd break down in tears. They'd tell me their whole life story, and it turned into therapy. And I realized many of my clients thought they were the only person that didn't get the download on how to handle their finances. Mm-hmm. And as I listened to people, I realized that a lot of us get stuck in a story unconsciously, and that we have to start to get conscious of what we're actually saying we want or what we're actually attracting. And so that began the process of getting the book out there, because I wanted to start this conversation so that people could start to say, oh, I don't have to be ashamed of my financial past. I can have a new financial future. And where have I been sabotaging, and what do I need to do to have the life I really say that I want?
Right. You know, Bob, that's, I can really relate to that, because all of my listeners know, I guess 20 years ago, I filed bankruptcy and I was so ashamed. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like, what's wrong with you? Why can't you handle money? And so I know a lot of people listening today really have a lot of shame around money and the way they deal with money.
Yeah. And the thing is, I can tell you, listeners, you're not the only one. There are people out there that you look at and you think, wow, they have their life together. And what you're seeing is just a snapshot of a moment in time. You don't know the debt that they have. You don't know the stress that they have. It may look good to you, but it may not be for them. You may not really want to be in their shoes.
Yeah. So let's get started. Let's talk about setting a new course, the money nerve. What is a money nerve?
So a money nerve is that place in your body where you physically feel that sensation of either joy when you get a surprise check in the mail.
Yay!
Or, yay, it's my birthday. Or when you go into the store and they decline your credit card in front of your friends and you feel just this reddening over your face and a pit in your stomach and you want to go hide. For some people have heart attacks over money issues because they're so stressed out. Mm-hmm. And so all of us hold our emotions around money and everything in different parts of our body. But really that money nerve is, where is the place in you that you feel that, or the excitement of, yay, that something's going on for you. That's the money nerve. It's a place that we feel the physical impact of the emotion.
Well, you know, I've heard people say that, you know, every month when they have to pay their bills, you know, there's tension in the house and
right.
people get upset. So would that kind of like be an example of the money nerve?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because if we know, the first of the month's coming, somebody's going to get angry, somebody's going to get scared, somebody's, you know, all of a sudden all these things start coming into play. I know some people that feel really uncomfortable writing a check over $10,000 because it's so big, mm-hmm. right? And we all have different places that strike a nerve, but we all have those places within us where we feel the joy and the pain of our money choices.
So you talked about being conscious mm-hmm. of the money nerve. What do you mean by that?
So I'll give you an example. I just was thinking about this when you first started talking.
Mm-hmm.
When I go into a workshop, I'll ask everybody, who wants more money? Everybody's, I want to be rich. I want more money. Everybody's like, me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll do a visual, and I'll say, okay, I want you to close your eyes and think about all the wonderful things that you're going to have with all this newfound wealth. And everybody gets in there, and they're imagining, and it's wonderful. And then when they're nice and peaceful, I'll ask them, do you really think you deserve this? And the majority of them open their eyes and they just have like convulsions because deep down, they don't believe they deserve it. Mm. And so what they do is, even though they tell themselves, I want more money, their unconscious story is, you don't deserve it. You already have enough. And whatever the stories are that tell them to keep themselves small. And so until we can get conscious of the story, a lot of people have the story of, I'm broke. Or they have a story of, I must have a new phone. I need a new phone. And those are stories because you don't need a new phone, right? You don't. You need oxygen. You need food. You need water. So once we can get conscious of the stories that we tell ourselves, we can then look at them and say, gee, does this story serve me anymore? Is it really bringing me the abundance and the life that I want? Or do I want to do something different? Am I willing to step into the uncomfortableness of something new? And once we can get conscious, we can then tell our mental GPS, hey, I want to go down this path. Stop mm-hmm. taking me on these detours that I thought were fun or that I said I was going on because I didn't really want to get to where I was going. And once you can get clear, yeah.
Well, you know, I just recently taught on change your subconscious, change your life, and that's so powerful. So a lot of people subconsciously are thinking or feeling, I don't deserve to be rich, I'm mm-hmm. supposed to be broke. So when they become conscious of what that story is, they can begin to change that subconscious. That's good news.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's great because that means all of us have the opportunity to have a different life than the current one we're having if that's not the life we want to continue to have.
Yeah. Well, you know, you talk about daily mental mapping. What is mental mapping and how does that help to shift and change that money nerve?
So the mental mapping is, that's the map that most of us work on unconsciously. And that map is telling us where we need to go. So if we're constantly saying, oh, buy another lottery ticket. Oh, go do some impulse shopping at the store. You're never going to get far anyway, so you might as well enjoy the moment. Like, mm-hmm. that's the map that's telling you don't need to put aside money. You don't need to look at a healthy relationship with money. And you're just on autopilot with this old programming. Maybe your mom or maybe your friend or somebody told you that you weren't good with money or that you didn't deserve it or other people are better than you. And so that's this GPS, this mental map that's guiding your life. Once you can get aware of where that map is taking you, you can say, wait a minute, I'm going to reprogram this. I don't want to do it that way. So, for example, I can go from L.A. to New York a multiple different types of ways. I can go by horse. I can walk. I can take a plane. I can drive a car. I can take the scenic route. I can take a very direct route. And all of those may be perfectly fine. It just depends on, gee, I need to be in New York tonight. Well, driving's not going to get me there. So really looking at the destination and what are the tools that I need to get there. Because if I need to be in New York tonight, I probably need to get a plane ticket versus catching a pony.
Yeah.
And, right? So, and a lot of us are running around, I think, with ponies trying to get to New York. And so once we can get clear on that mental map, and daily affirmations are great to really reaffirm, I'm going to have a healthy relationship with my money. I'm going to be aware of how I spend my money today. I'm going to listen to stories that I tell people when I'm talking.
Right. And you know, then, that's so interesting because I deal a lot with core beliefs around any area of our lives. And that sounds like what you're talking about.
Right.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, that's so powerful. And, you know, I know so many people who say, you were just talking about affirmation, well, you know, I'm broke, or, you know, the economy these days, or, you know, they're so fearful around money. So how powerful are our words in reprogramming that subconscious mind around money?
Well, they're critical. They're absolutely critical. I am a big fanatic on languaging because I really believe it sets the tone for our conscious and our unconscious mind. My least favorite word in the whole world is the word but, right? I want to be rich, but I'm scared. I want to do better at my job, but I'm not qualified. Whereas if we take and let both of those coexist, I want to have lots of money and I'm scared to learn new things, lets them both coexist instead of negating. So I really do not like the word but for the most part because I really feel like it negates and sends us back. Languaging is so important in speaking the truth. So instead of saying I'm broke, I ask my clients to say I'm choosing to do something different with my money other than what I said I would. I'm choosing not to put it into a college fund. So that it becomes a conscious choice, and then people can make a conscious decision to either stick with the story or to make a shift and do something different.
So, Bob, would you say that people need to make a decision to be rich?
Yes, I think people need to make a decision that they're going to allow abundance in their life, that they're going to allow themselves to be a receiver, even if they are afraid, even if they feel that they may not deserve it. It's really important to really claim that and say, I allow myself to accumulate money and wealth. I am a lovable, kind, wonderful person. Whatever those affirmations might be, to help really reframe this unconscious story that's been playing in a lot of our lives.
Well, you know, I know, you know, a lot of people talk about, I want more money, I want to manifest more money, but there's so much fear around money. Elaborate and expand on the whole emotion of fear around money.
Well, it's so interesting with fear because some people fear they have too much. Some people fear they don't have enough. So, fear is a big emotion around money because I might fear that nobody likes me for me. They just like me for my money. So then I become suspicious. I don't trust anybody because my fear is I'm not really valuable for myself. I'm only valuable if I have money. Or I might fear that people are going to find out that I'm a fraud. Maybe people think I'm really smart and wonderful, but if they knew the truth, then they would all leave me. So my fear is I don't really deserve this money, and so I don't want anybody to find out. So then we start to withhold. We become guarded. We might fear that the IRS, I have a lot of clients that fear that the IRS is going to come into their home and take them away to prison, even though that no longer exists. Fear doesn't have to be rational. And so a lot of people fear I might have, I'm afraid that I'm going to be more successful than my parents and I'll embarrass them. I'm afraid I won't be as more successful than my parents and they'll be disappointed that they spent the money on college and I didn't give them a rate of return on my education. So we spend a lot of time in fear because it's scary to go out there and stand out and stand up and have people notice us and have people say, wow, what's going on in your life? Oh, no. You know, it's so funny when people get a new car or people buy a new house, a lot of times somebody will say, oh my gosh, you got a great car, that's beautiful. Well, you know what, I got this, I inherited some money, somebody died, so I didn't just go out and do this, right? We backpedal on the good things that we have in our life.
You know, that's so true. And you know, I had a client, I don't know, 15 years ago, who was wealthy but was afraid to spend money.
Yeah.
And just became a miser. And so it's all of those fears that really hold us back. And they felt like they would lose their control if they would really spend the money. So no matter what, once we allow money to come into our lives, we really need to examine those awesome core beliefs.
Right.
Around money. So Bob, would you say that that's why a lot of athletes who might make $100 million playing in the NFL and then 5 years later they don't have anything?
Absolutely. I think a lot of them and a lot of us don't have anybody around us to actually help us out or give us guidance. And so we're very vulnerable when all of a sudden we come into this new wealth and we, especially in the case of a lot of athletes, they go in, they're making all this money. It feels like it's going to last forever. It's not even real. And so they don't budget and they don't really deserve it, but they're going to have as much fun as they can while they can, because it may not last. And so a lot of them, majority of them end up bankrupt. Even Mike Tyson, I mean, another person who had millions and millions of dollars and had nothing. So there is, again, this thing about I don't deserve it. A lot of actors end up making a lot of money and having a lot of success. A lot of them end up, you know, dying from drugs or other things because they don't want anybody. A lot of them don't want people to find out that they're not really that good. They don't want to be discovered as the fraud that they believe that they are, even though they're not frauds.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the belief.
Well, you know, in your book, I love the way your book is written, and I'm going to really strongly encourage all of you to go out and get his book, because, you know, money and abundance is such a powerful issue. And then at the end of each chapter, you have a call to action. And under fear, you said, make a list of your top five financial fears. Why is that important?
Because if you aren't aware of where you self-sabotage, and if you aren't aware of where you withhold and withdraw, you're not going to be able to move forward, because when one of those fears comes up, you're going to become paralyzed again. So for me, it's really important to identify what are the things that scare me, where are the places that I'm going to be vulnerable, so that it may not get rid of my fear, but if at least I know that, you know, I'm afraid that you know, let's say I'm afraid that I'm going to go into a store and my credit card's going to decline.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's a fear of mine, I may just not run into the store, or I may turn around on the clerk who tells me it's declined and tell them that they're wrong and just spew all kinds of anger at them so that it doesn't make it about me. And if I know that that's the case, then what I can do is tell myself, okay, I'm going to go in with the credit card. And if the credit card declines, I'm going to take a deep breath. It doesn't define me as a person. Whereas a lot of times we'll act as if a financial tragedy or a financial situation defines my entire life.
You know, that's so true. And I was just thinking as you were talking, nobody really teaches us about money.
Mm-mm.
You know, we just sort of go to school, get degrees, but then nobody really teaches us how to handle money. And I have to ask you this question. Why do seemingly the rich get richer and the poor get poorer? I was looking at some documentary and it was talking about if all of the money, which currently is in the hands of the wealthy, left their hands within 3 to 5 years, they would have it all back. Why is that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I really believe that most wealthy people believe that they're entitled to have the wealth, and they don't sit there and say, "Oh, it's unlimited," and they don't sit there and create all these stories about how they can't have it. I mean, I've worked with a couple of clients that had lots of money, and then when it disappeared, they would say, well, yeah, but my monthly budget is $50,000. I need that money to come back into my life. I've always had it. So, and sometimes it can be a little bit, you know, blinding for them as well, because they're sometimes not grounded in reality, but But the truth is, most wealthy people feel that they're entitled to it and that money keeps moving and they're allowed to enjoy the energy when the money comes in, and they let it just linger a little bit longer in their pocketbooks than other people. A lot of people without money, when they get an inheritance, when they win the lottery, or like these sports, the athletes, will amazingly immediately spend all the money and get right back to their comfort zone.
That is so true. I was looking at a documentary with some wealthy athlete, and he had like 50 cars.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do you drive 50 cars? And he had all of these garages, and of course, now he's struggling financially.
Right.
That's so interesting.
Well, you know, it's funny. I have several clients that have TV shows, and some of them make $1 million a year. And when they first get the show, they'll say, oh, my gosh, we're making $1 million. I'm like, okay, well, first of all, yes, you're making $1 million, but we need to factor out 40% for taxes, so you only have $600. Mm-hmm. So let's start there. And then I also tell them, this show is not going to last forever. Not every show lasts for 25 seasons, so you need to continue living the life that you were living before you got this windfall. And some of them go on to think that they're always going to be making $1 million a year, and they live like that. And then when their show gets canceled, I just had a client, they had to sell their house, they had to sell everything, mm-hmm. because he was living as if it would last forever, instead of saying, wait, I'm in this moment of opportunity, let me set some aside.
That's really good. So let's talk about budgeting. Should we have a budget? Why are budgets important? And what would that look like for listeners?
So I definitely believe budgets are important. I believe budgets are knowledge. I believe budgets are tools to help us make decisions and give us options. A lot of people hear the word budget and they think scarcity, you can't have, adult stuff, unfun. And so a lot of people will just shut down when I say, hey, let's talk about budgets. Now, the thing about a budget is, and I like to call it honest budgeting when I work with people, because a lot of people, I'll get them to start putting down their budget. They'll put down, here's what my mortgage or my rent is. Here's what it costs for my car payment. But then they don't put down the $300 a month that they go spend for impulsive shopping. They don't put down the $30 a month they spend on lottery tickets. They don't put down the $20 they spend on candy bars, or the $100 a month they spend on expensive coffee, because they don't want to count that because it doesn't look good. Mm-hmm. And so even with people with addictions, I say, fine, you don't have to call it an addiction, but you need to put down their, you know, special needs or whatever it is, because you need to factor that in. If we're going to be honest and we're actually going to work on a budget, we need to know where does all the money go. And then we can decide if we want to continue to do that or not. And with a budget, I had somebody say to me once, so you're telling me I can't go shopping ever again? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying do it consciously and know that if you're going to make that choice, you may have to give up something else on your list of wants.
So it's like an honest assessment, the whole reality check.
Absolutely. And the key, in my opinion, to doing a budget, because I experience this with people so much, if your check is $560, don't round it up and say you make $600. If it's $560, round it down and say you made $500. And if your phone bill is $120, don't say it's $100. Round it up to $150. So most people will round up their income and round down their expenses. I do it the opposite. I round down my income and round up my expenses, so that helps cover for any things that I might have missed.
You know, you talked about just spending, and, you know, this week Apple came out with a new iPad, a new iPhone, and I'm like, somebody said, are you going to get, I'm like, I just bought the 6.
Right.
You know, I don't need anything, guys, and so really consciously being aware of, you know, I don't necessarily need a new iPad.
Right.
And making those wise decisions.
No, absolutely. But the media will tell you that. How can you be so old fashioned to have a phone that's 6 months old?
Yeah.
You're so 1980.
You know, that is so true. And once again, it goes to back to being conscious
Conscious.
Of how your relationship with money. So let's talk about relationship with money. So we have a relationship with money like we have a relationship with our children, with
right.
our spouse, with our friends, with our coworkers.
That's right. And the mistake that a lot of people make is they think they can come in, sit down, spend a couple hours on it, spend a week or two, figure out their budget, and they don't ever have to deal with their money again.
Mm-hmm.
And a money relationship is similar to a relationship with a child, with a spouse. You have to constantly keep reevaluating and redefining and retweaking to have the relationship where you want it to be.
So true. And so what's your take on credit cards?
Well, I'm not a big fan of credit cards.
Okay.
I think it's important to have one or two just tucked away for safety. You know, when Katrina happened, a lot of people didn't have access to money and ATM machines weren't working. And, you know, a credit card would have been a way for some people to be able to at least buy food and do some, you know, do things that they might not have otherwise been able to do. But overall, I think credit cards are really unhealthy. I had a really bad credit card spending habit when I was younger because I just believed I could just spend it. It was free money. You know, if they told you had $10,000 of a credit limit, that meant I had $10,000 to go out and spend. I needed to get it up to the $10,000. And I literally, and a lot of people suggest this, and I literally did it, and I suggested I literally put them in a Tupperware and I froze them. Because then when I went to reach into my wallet, I had to break the addiction. And when I would reach into my wallet, there was no credit cards because they were all in the freezer. And if I really, really needed them, I had to wait for the ice to thaw.
And so by the time the ice was unfrozen, your desire for that item had passed.
Right, exactly. And so one of the things that I really encourage people to do with looking at new thought or creating habits like freezing the credit cards is to create a hiccup in our ordinary, regular pattern of thinking. So my pattern was always go to the wallet, get a credit card, have whatever you need. Once that was gone, my brain would hiccup because, oh, it's in the freezer. Do I really need it? Now I have to sit and think about it for 2 days. Same reason why I have people put money in savings in an account not related to their bank account so that it's not easy to move over.
So
I use like an online banking or a credit union where I actually have to go down there or it takes 2 or 3 days for me to get the money so that it interrupts my pattern of, oh, I got to have it now. Oh, I can just cover it.
So are you a big proponent of saving?
I think savings is a wonderful thing. I'm not saying you have to live on crumbs every day. And I think it's really important that you start putting money away for the near future and for the long-term future. Because nobody besides yourself is going to be a champion for making sure your financial needs are taken care of. They're trying to take care of their financial needs. So we all have to be proactive if we want to have the abundance and the financial security that we say we want. We have to participate.
You know, I know a lot of women, you know, I've coached a lot of women who said, Constance, I'm looking for a sugar daddy.
Right.
Because their own belief is they can't manifest or create money themselves.
Right.
They have to marry or have somebody else take care of them. What's your thinking on that?
Well, I see that a lot. And it's surprising because when I talk about that in workshops, some women will get really angry and say, nobody thinks that way anymore. And then the majority of the other women will say, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because even little girls today are programmed to look for that outside source to bring you your fulfillment in terms of wealth and happiness. And it's a real disservice. My saying is, don't wait for your ship to come in. Go out and build your own ship.
You know, I can really relate to that because that was my belief. You know, I'm like, I have to marry somebody wealthy. And I did, and it didn't work. And when the divorce went down, because I didn't sign a prenup, I was really left struggling. And so it really taught me that my core belief for myself at that time was not worthy, you know, don't have the ability to create wealth for yourself. And I just want to speak to all the women out there and just really say that, you know, listen to what Bob is saying, because it's within you. It's not outside of you.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I'll say this to the women out there. I talk about this in the book. I read an article about this woman, and they actually did a study. A lot of successful women think that they're imposters. And it's a significant, it's something like 70, 75% of the women that are in high-powered positions think they got there by luck. They ignore the fact that they have education. They ignore the fact that they have experience. They ignore the fact that they're an expert in their field. And they run around thinking, I hope nobody finds out that I'm not really the person everybody thinks I am, when in fact they really are the person that people think that they are. It's this belief that we don't deserve to be seen as powerful people. And a lot of women shortchange themselves when they evaluate themselves.
Nothing but the truth. What's your belief on tithing and giving? Because, you know, a lot of people talk about the universal law of giving and receiving.
Well, I agree with that. Actually, I make sure that I have my budget of my tithing and charitable contributions, because I believe that money is an energy. And I believe that if I just let money come in and I don't let money go out to serve the greater good, then I'm hoarding and I'm playing with the universal energy. So I think it's really important for people to find within them to give as well as receive. I just believe it strongly, and I budget for it in my company. I budget for it in my personal life. It's, to me, it's an important component that we learn to give and learn to see the abundance. I have clients that make $25,000, $30,000 a year, and they'll make sure that they're giving $5,000 to charity.
Yeah. I mean, giving has just been so big in my life. I've been doing it for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And I believe that it has really brought miracles in my life. So when you say money is energy, expound on that. What do you mean by that? Because that was one question I had written down that I wanted to ask you. What does that mean?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Money is not an object, in terms of, if I give you a $100 bill and I give you a $20 bill and I ask you to close your eyes, you can't tell me the difference.
True.
Because they're both pieces of paper that we all agreed had a value. And of course, you'll be more excited if the $100 bill appears in your hand over the $20, but in terms of feeling it, looking at it, and everything besides the denomination, they're exactly the same. So it's not that piece of paper that really has anything to it. Money is an energy, and it moves. Money comes into our lives. Money goes out of our lives. Money touches our hands. Money goes out of our hands. And for some people, as soon as it gets into their hands, they've got to get rid of it, because it scares them. And other people can let the money come in and they can say, oh, that's nice. I think I'll let it sit in my bank account for a while. Money circulates. And we talk about money in circulation. Money is energy. It's moving. Money is moving. When you get a $5 bill or a $10 bill back in change, you don't know how many people have touched that dollar bill.
So true.
Right? It could have been a millionaire could have touched it. A homeless person could have touched it. Somebody at work could have touched it. It could have been involved in a drug deal. It could have been involved from a charity benefit. It could have been from a lemonade stand, from a little kid selling lemonade, right? There's so many people that touched that money, and some people took it, and it was their last piece of hope. Other people took it and said, oh, it's 10 bucks. And so all these emotions have touched that little dollar bill that's circulating with all this energy.
You know, that's powerful insight. I never thought of that, Bob. And so, you know, I'm on the law of attraction, so, you know, I've got to talk to you about the law of attraction and money. What's your take on that? Because, you know, the law of attraction says that whatever you believe, whatever you feel, whatever your dominant belief and thinking is, you will eventually and inevitably attract that into your life.
Well, I definitely believe in the law of attraction, and I definitely believe that we also have to be proactive in that. So some people believe that in the law of attraction, they can just, you know, affirm that they're going to have a Mercedes. I'm going to have a Mercedes. But then they don't actually go out and do anything to help make that happen. They just are waiting for it to come to them. And to me, that is, again, like waiting for your ship.
Yeah.
I think it's important to shift the mind, put that imprint in that I allow myself to accumulate money and wealth, that I allow myself to have financial choices, that I'm comfortable with money, that I deserve it, and I'm just as good as everybody else. And I think all of those things are really important, and I think we have to be proactive. We can't just sit and wait for the Mercedes to show up. We can attract that, and we can attract that energy around us, and we have to actually participate.
So, you know, I'm a Christian and I have a lot of people who are spiritual. What about people who say, well, I'm praying for God to send me money? I mean, I'm sure you heard that.
I do.
I'm praying for a breakthrough. I'm praying for a financial miracle. What's your thinking around that?
Well, it really goes back, and I one day I have to look the joke up so I can remember it right. But there is basically a story where, you know, there was a flood and a person sitting on a house on the top of the roof waiting, and somebody comes by with a boat and they said, no, I'm waiting for God to come get me. And then a helicopter comes by and they say, no, it's okay, I'm waiting, God's going to come get me. And these three or four different ways come by, and ultimately the person keeps turning them down because they're waiting for God. And then the water rises to the roof and the person drowns, and he goes up to heaven and he says, well, God, what happened? And God said, well, I sent you a boat, I sent you a helicopter, I sent you all kinds of vehicles, and you just chose to ignore them. And so what that says to me is sometimes we don't see God where God is. And we say, well, no, it didn't look like what I thought it was going to look like, so it can't be God. It can't be spirit. And the truth is sometimes spirit doesn't look like we think it does.
So
and we miss opportunities.
That is so powerful. I'm just big on taking action. So what about visualization, or really in your mind or in your thinking? How can we begin to envision ourselves with a different financial future?
Well, I definitely am a big proponent of visualization. I think it's important to, like what I do with people is have them write out, what are the things you want? I want a great relationship. I want lots of children. I want wealth. I want a place to live. I want to travel. Like, actually visual all those things and start to visualize them and see yourself comfortable and enjoying it. I think that is so powerful. Again, though, it's important to really let that land and let that settle. Because, again, when I do these workshops and I'll say, who wants, you know, imagine the wealth, imagine all these things, and people will visualize it. And then when I put in that, do you really deserve it, a lot of people shut down and go, well, I don't. And so we have to get past that and actually say, yeah, actually, I do deserve it. And it fulfills me and it feeds my soul and it's part of my spiritual being, because having success with money does not negate our spirit, and it doesn't negate our compassion, and it doesn't negate our goodness.
And so would you say that your book really helps people to change their conscience?
Yes.
And because I often share that whatever your consciousness is of yourself and life and anything else, that's what will really be outpictured in your life.
Absolutely. And I can tell you, it really is about being conscious. It's about being aware. It's about conscious choice. It's about intention. It's about integrity. I had a workshop and some of the people came in and said, wait a minute, you're going to make me be accountable for my choices? I thought you were going to tell me how to get rich quick. Mm-hmm. I'm out of here. And they left. They were very offended because they didn't want to actually be part of the process of bringing in their prosperity.
Well, you know, I love what you said. I love the word process. I had a guest, Pete Adams, and I talked about trust the process. And so for listeners, this is not a get rich quick scheme. This is actually work, and it's a process.
It's work. Here's the thing. We didn't get into financial binds in a day, and we're not going to be financially abundant in a day. We have to do baby steps. We have to take each step and stop trying to get from A to Z. I always say people like to get from A to Z. I just want to get from A to B. And then when I get to B, I'll get to C. And actually do the work each step of the way instead of trying to shortchange it and miss all the rich opportunities in between anyway.
You know, that is so true. You know, and another reason, you know, I love your book is, like I said, the call to action. So you have the chapters written, and at the end of each chapter, you give people specific steps that they can take to begin to shift and change their lives. I love that.
Well, it's the most important part, because doing the calls to action, that's the work. I tell people, even if you don't read the chapter, do the calls to action, because that's where the work is. That's where we start to get conscious. That's where we start to make new decisions. And I really encourage people, I say this all the time, just be curious about your choices. Be curious about your past choices. Don't look at stuff and say, oh my gosh, how stupid was I? Or can you believe I did? Just find it curious. Isn't it interesting that I love to overdraft my bank account? Isn't it interesting that I always turn down promotions? Isn't it curious? Just really be interested and not judgmental. And you'll find that you can give yourself a little bit more room, and you can be a little bit more compassionate with yourself as you start to make different choices that start to serve you in your more conscious life.
Well, you know, and one of your chapters talks about find the financial you, and you talked about, you know, maybe finding support groups. I think that's so important.
It is. It's so important. And so, you know, I recommend to people, if you really want to change your financial situation, find a friend, talk to your spouse, talk to your partner, talk to your kids, find somebody to help hold you accountable and get them involved. I had a woman come to me one time, and she said, listen, I want to change my financial behaviors, but my husband, he sabotages everything. I said, oh, well, I'm sure when you have conversations with him, when you blame him, I'm sure that goes really well in having him assist you. I said, why don't you try this? Why don't you go back to your husband and say, dearest husband, I really want to change my financial struggles, and I really want to change my financial approach. Would you be willing to support me in changing my habits instead of saying you always sabotage me? And what happens is, I see this often, when they go back to their spouses and say, will you help me make my change? Will you help me be accountable? That the spouse often starts making changes as well, because they want to support their partner.
So what if you have a couple, and I get this a lot, where one person has an abundance mindset and then the other one has a poverty mindset? Because really, whatever our consciousness is of money, it impacts our relationships, right?
Absolutely. And I tell you, this is a difficult space. I had a couple come in earlier this year. The husband was so excited for me to meet his wife. He's a creative type, so his money comes in drips and drabs, and then all of a sudden there's abundance and there's less. She's a school teacher. Her mom has always taught her, live on this budget. This is exactly what you do. You save these receipts. This is what you do. So they came in, and she starts going, my husband's doing everything wrong. He doesn't save the receipts like this. And I said, whoa. He's just doing it different. He's not doing it wrong. He's doing it different. You have a different experience. So let's see if we can find the strengths in the way you do things, and let's find the strengths in the way he does things. And together, you guys are going to be a lot more powerful if you'll focus on the positives of each of your points of view instead of on the negatives of your point of view. Because some people live in that poverty mindset. One of my relatives was married to a man who was part of the Depression. He could never. He grew up in such poverty. He just was never able to overcome it. And unfortunately, in their case, it ended up that the relationship didn't work, because he was never able to leave that space of there's not enough for anybody. There's just not enough. I think, though, I meet people that have completely different mindsets around money, and they make it work because they see the beauty in the other person, and they see the strengths and the gifts from that point of view.
I see that. Because really, money is a vehicle, and really to to serve others and to help others. You know, when I see all of the refugees coming from, I think it's Syria.
Yeah.
You know, I just look at that and I'm like, wow, I'm going to help with that some way, on some level. And
absolutely.
So money is a vehicle that can really shift and change the lives of others.
We can impact so many people. And it's amazing what a little thing will do. I give money to my church back in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I don't live there anymore, but I give money back. And I had been asked, would I earmark it for the choir, for the music program?
Mm-hmm.
Not a big deal, not a lot of money. And I went back a couple times and everybody came running up to me and said, oh my gosh, do you know what the money you give us? I'm like, it's not that much. They go, it pays for this music program. It pays for the Christmas. I just found it paid for this children's program that's now going to go statewide.
Wow.
In Tennessee and helping children with music. And I'm not even doing, it's not even a lot of money, but it has so much impact. I had no idea. My money to that small church is much more significant than me giving $10,000 to the Red Cross.
Yeah, I see exactly what you're saying. So, Bob, what does the future hold for you? Are you doing, do you do workshops all over? Share with our listeners how they can contact you, what your website is, how they can get your book, and what about your seminars?
Okay, great. Well, absolutely. So the best place to check me out is themoneynerve.com, themoneynerve.com. The books are available there. They're also available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and other fine bookstores. And the website will also let you know where I'm teaching workshops and seminars. I do 1 and 2 day workshops. I do 8 to 10 week workshops. And then I also do speaking engagements. I go around and give talks for an hour. And sometimes I have private groups, real estate or financial advisors, or people will bring me in to have a conversation with their team of people. And so I'm in a lot of different places. You can definitely email me and ask if I'm going to be in your town. I am starting to do workshops in other places, Toronto, Denver, Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of great stuff in the works. I love this work, and I love seeing people get conscious about their money, and I love seeing people really start to own their true selves and really to see them stepping into conscious choice and stepping into their leadership and stop living in fear.
So Bob, you like a prosperity preacher, teacher, right? Without a pulpit, because you certainly are changing the minds and the consciousness of people all over the world. And I'm just so grateful to have you on my show today.
Well, it's been wonderful to be with you, and I hope people out there, especially all the women, will really take heed and know that they can have anything that they desire if they're willing to do the work.
Yeah,
Don't wait for somebody to bring it to you. Go out and create it.
I love that. I love that. Well, once again, this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. Of course, you know you can email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. My website is fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And as I say every week, remember this, God loves you, I love you, and the best is yet to come. You better believe it.
Thank you for listening to Think, Believe, and Manifest. Constance will be back next week with another inspirational show. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com or send Constance an email at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.